In these last few weeks, we have followed the activities, in the miraculous activities of a fisherman. A fisherman whom the Lord called and named him Cephas, Peter, the rock on which I'll build my church. Cephas, whom the Lord called not to be fishers, but to be fishers of men. And we have seen in this short period, in this miraculous time, at the time after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and on the day of Pentecost, they came together and there were many people, and the blessings of the Holy Ghost was upon them. And they spoke in tongues, each to his own, and they understood each other. Sometimes some of us are so concerned about the thing about speaking of tongues, but what's happened here, that each understood. And now we hear that every man in their own tongue, they could understand each other. And what a miraculous thing. There were 3,000 of them that came to know the Lord. 3,000 people of international standing. If we just think about it, all these men, 3,000 of them, men and women, after being baptized and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings of the Holy Spirit, they went back to their countries and spread the word of God. From 120, you have 3,000. And according to the recent history of Christianity, they went to India and they went to China. They went to the East. And then Peter, as we recall last week, Peter and John were so brave. They've been blessed. The frightened Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times and declared, "Thou art God, the Holy One." And he went now this time into the temple and he healed the lame man who was lame, a cripple from his mother's womb, at the beautiful gate. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising him. And Peter, the changed man, he now went into the temple and preached his second sermon. His second sermon to his own people. But they were very troubled. They were very troubled because these were the same people, the members of the Sanhedrin, whom they had sent Jesus Christ to his death. And now they arrested Peter and John and put them in prison. And they laid hands on them. And Ananias, remember the believers, the high priest and all them, gathered them together to hear what they had to say. And again Peter, as we have read, filled with the Holy Ghost. And here he begins his defense, his testimony of the name that is above every name. "For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved. Indeed, this is the name, as we have read, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow in heaven and earth, and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So what's in the name? Today we learn that Jesus Christ is above every name. He is the one that is above every name. Let's remind ourselves again. As I said, Peter and John, they healed this man, this cripple. And many people were very anxious to know what had happened to them. And now they were brought out of prison. They were standing before the members of the Sanhedrin, the members of the ruling council, of the church council. Here were the high priests and the elders. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Ye rulers of the people and the elders of the Israel." Peter realized that he was not standing before a ruling council alone. But he remembered Christ had told them that they would be brought before the leaders and authorities, and they would not need to be worried, because the Lord God would give them the words to speak, the things to say. So now, can you imagine Peter standing before this ruling council, these very people who crucified his master, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does he say? What does he say? He was not going to stay accused of something that was right. He was not going to lay blame on anyone else. And we read again what he said. In Acts, let me read to you again the very words which were so amazing that Peter, the man who was so bold, and I think these are very useful, very important words that we need to remind ourselves again and again. In verses 9 to 12, he said, "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. For this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." This Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom they thought was out of their lives forever, whom they had put to death, this was the name that they had rejected. And Peter reminds the leaders and all the people of Israel that this is the Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. See, they were under assumption that what good could anyone come out from Nazareth? It was this Jesus, this Savior, this anointed Messiah of Nazareth whom they crucified. And he is the stone whom you builders rejected. He was the one they had rejected. He was the stone that had been used as a cornerstone. Instead, they rejected him and put him to death on the cross. For this was God's great salvation, plan of salvation, This was what was needed to take place in order that their sins may be forgiven. Sadly, today, even today, many still reject him. Many look at Jesus Christ and do not accept him as a personal Savior. A stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that causes them to fall. As we read in 1 Peter 2:8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. 1 Peter 2:8. Indeed, we with our sinful nature need to be reminded again and again that those who turn against God reject the Son of God. We disobey God's message at our own peril. For it is the reality of the matter that even Jesus Christ came into this world for the salvation of mankind. Today in this land, which was once called a Christian nation, sadly, many have rejected him. We live in a society where people are brought up with a philosophy that you must do your own things, you must accomplish great things in your own life. Something that is ingrained in some of us, of accomplishing our own comfort, our own desires. Some even feel that they can work out their own salvation. After all, they say, if we do good, we will be all right. The Lord tells us, although we can work out our own salvation, we can't work it out ourselves. We will stray from the straight and narrow path. For in the book of Romans, it tells us that Israel pursued a law of righteousness but did not attain it because they stumbled again and again. Let's read Romans chapter 9, verses 31 to 32, 1126, page 1126. Page 1126. Romans chapter 9, verses 31 to 32. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumble at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Isn't it sad that today we still have echoes of people trying to work out their own salvation, trying to work out what is good for them? Some people even call it karma. Here we have the very words of God which tell us we cannot work out our salvation, save one person, the one and only name. He is the source of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul puts this very beautifully in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 to 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and in all prudence. So we are saved by God's grace, according to God's wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, not the wisdom of our human nature. Though we may try hard to do good, to be charitable, give works to charity, but it is the wisdom of God that by his grace we are saved. For in the name of Jesus Christ, this is a name which is above every name. Today we celebrate the fact that only in the name of Christ, which is a name above all names, the only name that saves. Indeed, you remember the words of Peter, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I give to you, in the name of Christ, walk." For this is the only name which saves. You see, the demonstration of this man, this cripple at the beautiful gate, was his defense to the people, to the Sanhedrin. "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give thee, in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk." For this is the name which saves us. Peter reminded the people of Sanhedrin that this is the cornerstone that you have rejected. Not the cornerstone for healing, but the cornerstone of salvation. For he is the anointed one, the man, the Messiah of the world. Indeed, he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Indeed, we must be careful that we do not water down any message of what we have read. The world says the philosophy of today is not necessary one who believes, but how sincere you are. But that is, if that is true, there are many who go to church. And are they sincere in their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ? For he is only the only way, the truth, and the life. Not by any man's efforts, not by the sincerity of people, not by any false belief. For from the Old Testament to the New Testament, to the very end of time, we are reminded again and again that he is the salvation of all mankind. In fact, from the Old Testament time, God has prophesied through Isaiah, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a down foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, for the foundation of the world, that he that believeth shall not make haste." Isaiah 28:16. For in every one of our lives, whether they be long or short, that we have to realize that we need to put our trust in God. When we put our trust in him, we will never be dismayed. This is the opposite of people who put their trust in themselves. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "For there is no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For he is the only name that saves." How sad it is that people try to use other names to try and build themselves up. There are some churches that have come and gone over the years because they have failed to lay the foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have laid the foundation in the cornerstone of men. Some cults come and go. They have gone to a disastrous end for their own followers because they have failed to put their trust in the cornerstone of the Lord Jesus Christ. For when Jesus is a cornerstone, the gates of heaven cannot prevail against it. That's the message that God gives to us, that Jesus is a name above every name. From the beginning of the time to the New Testament, to the very end of time, He is the only name. In John chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, 1051, let's read that one. Page 1051, John 3, 14:16. Page 1051, John chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For this is the only name which is a salvation for mankind." He is indeed the very foundation of our Christian church, of our faith. Sadly, during this time, there were many who rejected him. And even to this day, there are some who still rejected him. But this is a name that is precious to us. This is the only name which saves. Indeed, we read that even before he was born, we are told in Scripture, just as the angels had foretold to Mary and Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So from the beginning of time, even in the Old Testament, to the very time of his birth, to the time of his life on earth and to end time, there is no other name save that of Jesus Christ. For he is the name that the supremacy of Jesus is declared and is revealed to us. He is the name which has been declared to us in end time. our world hears this word, that he is indeed the only one that can be saved. Jesus Christ, he is the one, he is the true God, which has been declared to be the exclusive Savior of the entire world. There is only one person, and that name is in Jesus Christ. For in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And that Word, in John 1:1, is in Jesus Christ. As we read again, "For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but of the will of the one that sent me." These are the words of Jesus Christ himself in John 6:38. And again he declared, "Before Abraham was, I am." For he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto me, unto the Father, by me." For Jesus Christ himself has declared the supremacy of himself as the Son of God. Again, as Peter declared to the Sanhedrin, that this is a man who has revealed to us. We see how Jesus claimed to be God in the flesh. He claimed to have the ability to forgive sins, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. And he did all these things. This is the name, the supremacy of the Son of God revealed to each and every one. Again, we read, in fact, as I said, from the time of Exodus, in Exodus 23, "Thou shalt have no other God before me," God said. And then in Isaiah 44:6, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God." And in Timothy we read, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus." How wonderful are the words of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 11 to 13, page 1214. Page 1214 in your Bible. And I read from First John, chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. "And this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Scripture declares to us again and again, the truth of the name of Jesus Christ. Peter was so confident, being filled with the Holy Spirit, to declare this before the Sanhedrin. What is our response? What is our belief in the Son of God? Just as Peter declared to the Sanhedrin, was it Caesar? Was it the man? Or was it Jesus Christ, the Son of God? We are time and again challenged in our lives. Whom do we believe in? We have two choices. You believe in the world, or we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The Lord invites us to trust Him and to believe in Him. Secondly, this takes courage. Indeed, in our present world, we do not face rejection, persecution. But there are in many parts of the world where there is antagonism to those who believe in Him. There are many places where Christians are being believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are rejected, are persecuted, and are imprisoned. In Philippians, it says in page 1168, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27, 1168 in your Bible, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye may stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the Lord, for the faith of the gospel. Indeed, as we live in this world, we need to earnestly contend for our faith. It takes courage. When it comes to the question of the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing wishy-washy about it. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So let me repeat, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And do not be terrified by your adversaries, by the antagonism that you face, which is to them an evident taken of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. This is the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to each and every one of us. For there is no other name, no other name that can be saved than that of Jesus Christ, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. This is the truth in the scripture and the holy word of God. Amen.